Let us come and give thanks to the Lord. Let us call upon His name and make known His deeds among all the peoples of the earth. Let us sing praises to Him and speak of all His wonders. Let the hearts of all who seek Him be glad. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come this morning to give thanks to the Lord, even in all of our trials and our temptations and our difficulties. We know that You are faithful. We know that You are one who forgives us of our sins and welcomes us back into the house of God. Lord, help us come and to rejoice and to be glad. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us look to the Lord as we go to Him as a congregation in our morning prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to You as Jesus taught us to pray to the Father. As Jesus prayed to the Father, so do we. Father, we confess that we need a mediator who can hear the words of God and live, who can come before Him who dwells in unapproachable light and who no man has seen or can see. Lord, we confess that Jesus Christ is both the Son of God and the Son of man. We confess here with God's people that He is the only perfect mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ, we believe, was anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure and so set apart and fully furnished with all authority and ability to execute Your most holy will, both in His humiliation and in His exaltation. For us, He was born of low esteem and in a low condition, even though He was from all eternity the Son of God. He subjected Himself to the law which He perfectly fulfilled, was rejected by the world, and suffered for our infirmities as creatures. He was forsaken by His disciples, and even once on the cross by His own Father. He was scorned, rejected, condemned, and tormented. He faced the terror of death, the powers of darkness, and bore the weight of God's wrath. He laid down His life as an offering for sin, enduring the pain, shameful, and cursed death of the cross. He arose from the dead on the third day and declared Himself as victor over sin and death. He is a perfect mediator. We would not dare to be so bold to approach the throne of God without Jesus leading us all the way. What foolishness for men to think that they can approach God without faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. What ignorance and rebellion makes men think they can approach God in any other way. With Christ, there is always an open door. Whoever comes to Him will not be rejected. For You are full of compassion toward the humble and full of mercy toward the contrite of heart. O Lord, so we come today into Thy presence. Lord, we believe that it is indeed in Thy church that we will find Thee. Men may look to the end of the rainbow. Men may ascend into the heavens. Men may dig into the depths of the earth, even looking into the past. Yet we know that God is as near to us as our breath. God is here today in this place by His Holy Spirit, as You choose to work through Your visible church, the mighty powers of God. Through very ordinary and plain means, You do Your most extraordinary work in the hearts of men. Let us look nowhere else but unto Thee in Thy church as You reveal Yourself in the sacraments and the Word. Thy church is Your church. It is Your body. Our Father, we pray for the spreading of the gospel. We pray that we may see the gospel go forth in power. We pray that it may challenge the idols and the gods of this world. May kings and empires bow before thy holy name. Lord, deliver us from a pietism that does not capture kings and kingdoms. Deliver us from a gospel that only deals with a part of man and a part of life. Lord, you are sovereign and everything belongs to you. You wear the crown, and all men and all institutions must bow before you or be destroyed. Lord, deliver us from a modern church that has preached a pitiful Jesus. We have reduced Jesus to that which is equal to a bumper sticker. We have feminized Christ so that men no longer believe that he would send unrepentant sinners to eternal destruction. We have so compromised the true Christ that few men today really know who he is. Our Father, bless our nation. Bless our leaders. There are thousands upon thousands here in this country who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Let us not be discouraged. We have seen revival. We have seen reformation. Maybe another generation will see the fruits of our labor. That's all right with us. Just use what we have planted to raise up another generation that will be more bold and more holy, full of wisdom, goodness, and truth. Lord, we have planted. Others will water, but you must give the increase. Lord, do not turn a deaf ear unto us. Do not hide your face from us. Lord, because we have prayed, the world will be changed. We believe. We believe it. It is in accord with our holy will. We are not seeking to indulge our own selfish desires. We are praying for the building of your kingdom, and we are seeking to take every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you for the rest from our labors and the rest we have in Christ. Thank you for the gifts you give men so that we all may prosper as we each fulfill our callings. Grant to us the blessing of your presence, and may we be able to say today that it has been good indeed to be in the house of the Lord. For we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning is from Revelation chapter 22, reading verses 16 and 17. And Lord willing, next week we'll conclude with the book of Revelation, the last four verses. But today we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. Let us hear the reading of the Word of God. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. And may God add His blessing to the reading and hearing this morning of His holy word. Not long ago, I heard a preacher someplace make a rather simple but I thought profound statement that summarized so much in such a short sentence. He said, salvation is free, but salvation is not cheap. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. And it kind of summed it all up for me, I thought, as preachers listen to other preachers and learn. It's a little bit like the economist who said that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Some of you may know who said that. Years ago, when free lunches were being offered in the public schools, there was a great deal said about the value and the benefits of a free lunch for those under such economic standards And then finally, this economist simply said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody pays for it. The federal government or the state governments have no money. Remember that. They don't have any money of their own. And actually, the free lunch is paid for by taxpayers. The free lunch is paid for by people who work for their money, and the government transfers that money to the system where they offer what we call free lunches. It's been said that public education is free. There is no tuition charged. That's not true. Someone has to pay for it. And if you own property in Sullivan County or other counties, you know that you pay property tax every year, and a great amount of that tax goes to education. Somebody pays for it. That's the point. Nothing is free in this old world. It may be free to you. You pay nothing, but somebody pays for it. A Christmas gift may be free to you, but somebody paid for it. Even if your husband found it out on the street and he didn't pay for it, somebody bought it and dropped it on the street. Somebody paid for it. If you sign up for a sweepstakes and win a new car or a trip to Hawaii, it's free to you, but it's not cheap. Somebody paid for that car. The advertisers or the people who purchase the products that they're advertising. You see, you have to understand that. It's a rule in life. It's a rule in regard to economics. It's a rule that we live by. Don't be fooled in thinking that just because it's free to you, that somebody doesn't pay for it. Likewise, our salvation is free to us, but it is not cheap. Somebody paid for it. First of all, the Bible does speak of salvation as being free. In our own text, in Revelation 22, verse 17, let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. There is no cost. It does not cost you anything. Take of the water of life freely. Salvation is free to us. There is no purchase price for us. There is no sacrifice we have to make. There is no entry fee. There is no hidden cost for you. That's the good news. That's the gospel. You don't have to pay a cent for forgiveness. You don't have to do any kind of makeup duties to pay for forgiveness. You don't have to do any penance to pay for forgiveness. The good news is that forgiveness, believe it or not, and it's hard to believe, but forgiveness is free. It costs nothing for you. Isaiah chapter 55, one of the great texts of the Bible. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come. You don't have a penny. You have nothing to bring. And Isaiah says, come, buy and eat. Typical of the marketplace, buy and eat, but you don't have to bring money. Come, buy wine and milk, and a land flowing with milk and honey, without money and without cost. There is no cost. You don't need any money. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown unto David. So you're broke. I don't know if you've ever been broke. Maybe some of you have. At some point in your life, you've probably been broke. My wife and I, we don't carry much cash. We never did carry much cash. We might have a dollar in our billfold. I've seen some people carry hundreds of dollars in their billfold. It always amazed me they carry that much money around. But if you know what it is to be broke and poor without money to buy things, and here's Isaiah saying at the marketplace, come and buy and eat. You don't need money. There is no price. It's like going into a store and looking at the price tag. You know how we do? We like to go in stores and look at how much things cost. You want to buy a new lawnmower, men, you know, in springtime, and you turn the ticket over and the price is 0.00. This is the one I want, okay? This is the one I want. Or it gets away. It even beats the flea market and the backyard sales. You know, you buy a book for 50 cents, or you buy a kitchen blender for $5, or a new set of tires, or a used set of tires for $25. Can you imagine looking at the price and it says 0.00? Can you imagine going to the fill up your tank on your car with gasoline, and right now it's about $3.60, $3.70 a gallon? Can you imagine what it would mean if it said 0.00 per gallon? Everybody would be rushing to that gasoline station. You see, that's what it means to be free. It's free to you. That's the language of Scripture. It's a gift. You don't have to pay a thing for it. You don't owe us anything for it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, where I believe Jesus was talking to the woman at the well about the water and drawing water. John 4, verse 9, he says to that Samaritan woman, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to drink for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered to her and said, if you knew the gift of God, and there's the word, it's a gift of God, and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. It's a gift of God. It's free. And he goes on in verse 14, but whoever thirsteth of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. The water that I will give him, he will never thirst again. the forgiveness of your sins. There's no money or sacrifice required of you. The power of the Holy Spirit to help you change, and you all need to be changed, is free. There's no charge. In the book of Acts, Simon the sorcerer thought he could buy the Holy Spirit, purchase it with money. And you remember what Paul responded to him. He said, "May your money perish with you." Don't bring money to the church thinking you're going to buy salvation, forgiveness. The gift of the Holy Spirit cannot be purchased with money. And I would say the same thing to each of you this morning. If you think you can buy God's grace, if you think your money put in the offering plate is buying your salvation, if you think if you sacrificed enough this week and that God sees it, He will forgive you of your sins, you are not right with God, and may you perish with your money. That's what Paul would say. May you perish with your money. It is an affront to God. It is spitting in the face of God. It is denying the goodness of God. Can you not receive a gift, a gracious gift? My wife always had problems receiving a gracious gift. And I think it goes back to her upbringing as a child and being raised in a very poor family. Her family was the family that received the gifts from Salvation Army. That was her family, okay? The gifts from Salvation Army went to her house and to her home. And she always felt ashamed and bad about taking gifts. And even as she grew up to be an adult, when somebody gave her a gift, the first thing she always thought, what can I give them back? What can I give them back? And I'd have to say, Brenda, please accept some gifts as simply gracious gifts. You don't owe anything back. You don't have to pay them back. It's a gift. We're still fighting that battle. We fight it all the time. It's a gift. Take it. And that leads me to my second point. Remember that salvation is free, but it is not cheap. It's like the free lunch at school. Somebody has to pay for it. All these government giveaway programs are paid for by taxpayers. We need a stamp on everything that says paid by the taxpayer. Paid by the taxpayer. The government has no money. All they can do is take from one person and give it to another person. Politics is the art of fighting for the power of access to the money. Money that you can take from one person and give to another. Likewise, the gifts that God gives to you, especially forgiveness and the joy of the Holy Spirit, were paid for by Jesus Christ. He purchased them with His own life and His blood. The gifts that we receive. And that's plainly taught in the Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that He gave up unto death and the grave and torment and misery His only Son, the only one He had. That's the high price that was paid. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever seen a man die? Have you ever seen a man die a tragic death? Have you ever seen an innocent man die? What a tragedy. And that's the only price that God would accept. That's the only cost that was worthy of our forgiveness. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Galatians 1, 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I have passage after passage. I won't read them all to you. So what was the cost? Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. The cost was the death of the Son of God, who was perfect and without sin. He had to live, suffer, die, and experience the reality of death itself to pay for our sins. That's why we say salvation is free, but it's not cheap. If someone gives you an expensive diamond ring, it's free to you, maybe your boyfriend, but it may have cost him, what, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. He may have saved up for years for that ring. It's free to you, but it's not cheap. Likewise, our salvation, our forgiveness is free to us, but it's very expensive in that the requirement was the death of Christ. Now, along this line, let me mention a couple of other things here this morning before we close. Let me say this. And some of you are going to say, oh yeah, I knew there had to be a catch somewhere, right? Always got to be a catch. Everywhere there's a good deal, there's got to be a catch. It's like buying or getting a free cruise to the Caribbean, right? But they don't tell you that you got to pay for this, you got to pay for this, you got to pay for this. And the time you pay for all of it, very expensive. So what's the hitch? What's the catch? Well, here's the catch. Even though salvation is free, you need no money, you must bring something with you when you come to Christ. You must bring something with you when you come to Christ. And what is that? A thirst and a hunger. An empty belly, a desire to be forgiven, a desire for a better life than what this world has to offer. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Probably there, John. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. You got to bring something with you. Thirsty, hungry, and empty. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone who thirsts, here and your soul will live. It's free, not cheap. You've got to bring something with you when you come to Christ. And that is, I'm hungry and thirsty for the Word of God, for Christ, and for the truth of God. Otherwise, you won't come. If you're not thirsty, you won't come, really. If you're not hungry, you won't come. You know, I've tried, I suppose we were looking in Sunday school this morning at some of our regrets, and I think I've always regretted that I couldn't make people hungry when they came to church, that we didn't have a booming church because people, I just couldn't make them hungry. I couldn't make them thirsty. And of course, I have good theology in my head that says, you know what, Larry, you can't make people thirsty. You can't make people hungry. God has to do that. But if they're hungry and thirsty and they hear the things of God, they'll come. You can't hold them out. You can lock the doors, but they'll break the doors down to get in to hear the Word of God. They're so hungry and so thirsty. And so poor. God has to make people hungry. Once He makes them hungry, He says, come with your hunger and your thirst. And of course, we know the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. God's blessed you. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who cry over their condition. God's blessed you. And blessed are the meek. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. That's the bottom line. You say, well, preacher, what do I have to bring to church to be accepted by God? And the answer is, you know what? All you got to do is be hungry and thirsty and poor. And salvation is yours free. There's nothing you have to give. There's nothing you have to pay for. But if you don't want it, I can't make you drink. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? If you don't want it, it's like men, they're giving away free books on sewing at Hancock Fabrics tomorrow. I don't expect to see any of you there. It's like women, they're giving away free boxing gloves at Dick's Sporting Goods tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, women. I don't expect to see any of you there. It's like children at Piccadilly tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, they're giving away free spinach. All you can eat. You see, there's no value in anything if you're not hungry and thirsty. For something to be valued, you have to really, really want it. And just a couple of Psalms real quickly here. Psalm 42, the first verse, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is God? These things I remember and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. With the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, and I again shall praise Him. Or the help of His presence. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty, preacher. What a joy it is for a pastor to see that in his congregation. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. God's doing a work. And you know what? Salvation is free. Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary and seen your power and your glory. Forgiveness. We realize that we are sinners in the depths of despair. We are hungry. We are thirsty. The things of this world will not satisfy your soul. We go looking, like in a desert, in a dry and thirsty land. And there is this preacher, this man of God, who says, God offers the water free. God will fill your stomach free. Do you have a thirst and a hunger for God? For forgiveness? For change? For a better life than this world has to offer? The good news is that the grace of God is free. But it's not cheap. And I think that should motivate us as we live as Christians. So often we're motivated by different emotions and different values. You know, it's our duty to do this, and oftentimes it is our duty to do this or our duty to do that. It's our duty to give to the church. It's our duty to be at church. It's our duty to participate in the work of the church. It's our duty to be merciful and kind and gracious to other people. But the reason we ultimately do it is not because it's our duty, but because it's our way of expressing thanks to God for something that is free, but not cheap. You see, you have to learn to live your Christian life from an attitude not out of guilt and fear and what's God going to do to me and it's my duty to do this and my duty to do that, but out of an attitude of thanksgiving and joy. Let me ask you this week, how much joy have you had and have you done things simply merely out of thanksgiving that God's grace is free, but it's not cheap? If guilt is the reason you do things, may you perish with your guilt. God has called us to liberty and freedom and joy and thanksgiving. We do the things we do for others and for the church because it is our way of giving thanks to God for giving us a salvation that is free but is not cheap. Let me conclude with a few verses along that line. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. There's your motivation. There's why you're here this morning. There's why you're going to do the things you're doing this week. Whatever you do in word or deed, whether you say something, whether you do something, we do it in the name of Christ, the one who gave His life for our salvation, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. When was the last time you did something and you said, God, salvation is free, but it's not cheap, but here I am, and I want to show my thanks to you for what I'm doing here today. I'm not doing this to merit God's favor. I'm not doing this because I think I can
walk or work my way to heaven. I'm doing this because salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And I praise God that I'm the recipient of the high cost of the death of Christ. I'm doing this out of thanksgiving. You know, I'm not even this morning, I'm up here preaching. I'm not preaching for a paycheck. I'm glad to have it. I'm preaching out of thanksgiving. I thank God for what He has done. It's a joy. It's a freedom to do things out of thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9:15. I'll read just a few more passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 15, Paul says this: thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. After everything's said and done, that's what he concludes. Thanks be to God. Thanks. We're people who are people of thanks. Thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. God is the one we need to thank for His gift, free, no purchase, no price, no money, no cost. And it's indescribable. We cannot describe the grace of God unto us. We can't put it in words. And two Psalms, and we'll close here this morning. Psalm 118:29. Psalm 118, and just reading verse 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord. You know, we Christians ought to be people who are always rejoicing and giving thanks to the Lord. For God's loving kindness is not something He gives and takes back. It's everlasting. And then finally, Psalm 100. One of the favorite psalms in this church, I think. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Why did you come to church this morning? Just sit there and ask yourself. Okay, be honest. This makes you feel bad probably, but it's okay. Well, why did you come to church this morning? It's your duty. Pastor Ball doesn't have many more sermons here, you know, many more times in full. Maybe we ought to see him while we can. I don't know. Why did you come today? The Bible says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. We thank God for His salvation, which is free to us. All we need is a thirst and a hunger, an empty belly, a sorrow for our sins, and we come to Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And we come and sing songs and we praise His name for a gift that is indescribable. We give thanks. Now remember this in the future. Applies to all of life. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And may you leave here today with thanksgiving in your heart. And may you live the rest of this day focusing on the indescribable gift that God has given me. Free. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come and buy without money, without cost. Let us pray.
Our Father, sometimes we confess we forget. We get so wrapped up in ourselves and our problems and our troubles and the issues of the church, the issues of the day, and we forget that we have salvation, we have forgiveness, we have the Holy Spirit. It is free. But help us never to forget there was a high price that had to be paid. It's free, but it's not cheap. And for that reason, we will leave here today focusing upon the free offer of the gospel and praising our God for all He has done for us. Lord, help us to do so, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.